Well, we have started this new year with a strong call from the Lord back to himself. I don't know if anybody's noticed that at all. Have you? Anybody aware of that? This tugging on the inside. There's a scripture in James chapter 4 verse 5 that says the Spirit in us, the Spirit who dwells in us, yearns jealously. And I will testify, I've been more aware of this kind of tug of the Holy Spirit on the inside in these last couple of weeks, really, more than I have in years. And I am so grateful for it. I'm so grateful for him, that there is this pull, that he is yearning jealously, because he wants our time, he wants our focus, but more importantly than anything else, he wants the affection of our hearts. He wants a warmth in our hearts towards him. Yes. A tenderness. You know, when you think about him, instead of feeling you should, it's I want to. I want to be with you, Jesus. You're the best thing that's ever happened to me. Yeah. You're the best person in my life. You know, that warmth towards him. And there's this work of grace going on that I will testify to, and I'm sure many of you in this room will testify to. There's a scripture, I think it might be in Jeremiah, that talks about with loving kindness you've drawn us. You know, the way the Lord drew his people, Israel, it says you've drawn me with loving kindness. And that's the draw. It's not a kind of harsh tug. It's not a kind of because he's a little bit annoyed with us. It's out of a loving kindness and just desire to be with us, his people. And prayer really is kind of fueling that. You know, this prayer and fasting that we're doing as a church over these 21 days, it's causing, as Pastor Judith said, a greater awareness. Can anybody, sort of agree with that, testify to that? A greater awareness of his presence with you and an increased desire for him. You know, even if you don't feel or see anything at the moment, I just want to say to you, God is faithful. And that promise, seek me and you will find me, it's true. You know, so you might be sitting there thinking, well, this is all well and good, but quite honestly, I feel like a plank of wood currently. You know, don't worry about that. Feelings come and go, you know, but faith pleases God. And those who seek him find him. So Pastor Judith has asked me to speak this morning to bring something that the Lord gave me in a dream the night before New Year's Eve, Friday night, the 30th of December. But before I do that, I want to recap on the amazing word of the Lord that we received as a church last weekend through Pastor Judith, and really the follow-on that happened on Wednesday night. So we're going to go back to our scriptures now in Haggai, verses 1 through to 8. And it says, thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, this people says, the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses and this temple to lie in ruins? Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You've sown much and bring in little. You eat but do not have enough. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put into a bag with holes. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up into the mountains and bring wood and build the temple, that I may take pleasure in it and be glorified, says the Lord. Now that's not a gentle rebuke from the Lord. If you've got ears to hear, that's a full-on, the Lord's disciplining those he loves. You know, like a good father disciplines his children. It's kind of a sitting us down, as a good father does. Stop, consider your ways. I want you to think about your behavior. I want you to think about the way you run your life. If you were working hard only to put your money into a bag with holes, wouldn't you want somebody to tell you? Wouldn't you want to be alerted to that? And that is the word of the Lord. You're working hard, You're busy with lots of things, you know, but it's not producing much. Consider your ways. And I wanted to bring us back to a slide that Pastor Judith brought last weekend about what it means to consider your ways. To consider means to weigh up, to assess, to give serious thought to, or to review. Your ways, your regular patterns of life, your habits, your behavior, the things that you do in the course of the day, most often repetitively. Okay, consider your ways. And I want to ask you a question. I actually had three questions, but I boiled it down to one. And my question to you and to myself, really, the Lord's question to us is he pleased with your patterns of behavior? Is he pleased, really, with your habits, your patterns of life? Are you really living for him and his kingdom? Or is it more about you building your own house? Before you answer that and start to kind of justify yourself and make excuses, according to the word of the Lord, we are all guilty, to a certain extent at least, of building our own houses and neglecting his. Working hard to get our own needs and wants met and ignoring his. Ouch. Painful, isn't it? But you know, that is the design. This is a sword. And unless it cuts, divides between soul and spirit, we can't see our own hearts. And we need to see our own hearts. The Lord sees them all the time. You know, and we need to see what he is seeing on the inside, all day, every day. We might be able to fool other people, and we might even fool ourselves, because we can all do it. We all make our excuses, don't we? Our reasons as to why I can't, or I, you know, this, that, and the other. But we can never fool him, because he doesn't see as man sees. Scripture says, man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. So he's saying you're busy building your own paneled houses. Whilst my temple lies in ruins, consider your ways. And I pray, Lord, soften our hearts this morning to receive this word. You know, just as you're sitting there right now, just say, Lord, speak to me. Help me hear your voice. Thank you that I can. You know, something odd, really. After we got back from Italy, I had a real hankering for a Christmas dinner, you know, like an English traditional Christmas dinner. And I was peeling the Brussels sprouts. I'm sure most of us in this room have had the joy. I mean, it's just endless, isn't it? If you had a bag of them, it's just on and on. And I was peeling these Brussels sprouts, and I just prayed, Lord, change my calloused heart. You know how on a Brussels sprout you've got the tatty, dirty outward leaves and you have to chop off the end and peel off the leaves? And I thought, the Lord really spoke to me. Your heart's like that. I've got to get the dirt and the scrappy shell off. And I believe that's a word for all of us. You know, we're all in a different place with the Lord. Some of us closer to the Lord than others, but the call for all of us is the same. Come to me. There's a work to be done. Come to me. And he wants to take off that shell in all of us that brings a hardness, actually, and a coldness towards him. Monday morning, I came into the building to pray. And I have to say, if you haven't done that yet, I highly recommend it. Look, it's not easy to get up early, more early than usual. I take ages to get ready in the morning, so I had to be up at 5:45, I think it was. Ridiculous, really. But anyway, I recommend it. There's something about being here in this building and giving time to him. And I, you know, if you find a way, here's my testimony. If you find a way, the Lord multiplies your time and energy back to you. Pastor Judith and I were talking afterwards. Somehow that day got so stretched, we ended up doing more in that day than we doing most. You know, somehow, I don't know how he did it, but he did it. You give to him and he multiplies back to you. Anyway, one of the scriptures that was on the board to pray was Matthew 6, the Lord's Prayer. And I just started to pray, Lord, your kingdom come. Your will be done in my life, in our lives as a church. Your kingdom come, your will be done. And straight out of my mouth, without thinking, I just said, your kingdom's not of this world, just as you are not of this world. And I just started to meditate on that. His kingdom is not of this world, just as he is not of this world. But Jesus said about us in John 17, you are not of this world. You're in it, but you're not of it. You're in the world, but you are not of the world. You have a different spirit. If you're born again, you have a different spirit. You have a different God. You serve a different God, not the God of this world. And actually, we should have different goals. And I just prayed, Lord, deliver us from the spirit of this world. Deliver us from evil. Deliver us from the spirit of this world. It's the same prayer that Jesus prayed for us, actually, in John 17. He said to the Father, Lord, I don't pray. Father, I don't pray you take them out of this world, but that you keep them from the evil one. He doesn't want us out of the world. We absolutely need to be integrated with the people, because we're the light. Take us out, the light's out, in the world, but not of the world, of a different spirit. And I just want to really bring some clarity about what the spirit of the world is, or how the world operates. And I think it's summed up pretty well in a couple of verses in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. It says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. That's the spirit of the world. That's the way the world operates. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. The world's always wanting more. Have you noticed? More. More money. More stuff, bigger, better, more. It's never satisfied. There's always just this hankering, constant, just like churning of waters, constantly wanting more. More knowledge, insatiable desire. I mean, I love Google, love it, I think it's amazing. But this insatiable desire for more information, more knowledge, more power, more influence. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. Because it's actually serving greed and selfishness and pride. Look at me. Look at what I know. Look at what I've achieved. Look how good I am. Look how clever I am. Look how right I am. Deliver us from evil, Lord. Deliver us from the spirit of this world. God's goals are very different, you see. It's not to show us off. It's not to show me off, it's not to show you off, it's to show himself off. Reveal himself to this world so that many will see, and many will fear, and many will put their trust in the Lord. So we're not here to build a platform for ourselves, but to build a platform for him, that he may take preeminence. Center stage, not to build our own house, but his house. And of course, the grace and goodness and kindness of God is, seek first my kingdom, all these things will be added. You're not going to go without. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. Just like Pastor Judith and I experienced the other day, you know, as you give to him, he multiplies back to you. Time is added. Strength is added. Wisdom is added. Just these thoughts. Oh, I just try that. I just need to do that. I just remembered I need to, you know, somehow blessed. Without the stress of kind of doing it in your own strength, you know. And also, you know, in Matthew 6 as well, it talks about under that whole section of seek first the kingdom. It says the Gentiles run after all these things, you know. This constant desire for things. The Gentiles run after all these things. But, you know, he will give us the things that the Gentiles are running after. It's not that we can't have things. He just doesn't want things to have us. That's the point. You know, beware of covetousness, the Bible says. Your life doesn't consist in things. Put me first, blessings added. Building our own houses and our own businesses and our own lives, it's exhausting, isn't it? It's absolutely exhausting and it's very stressful. And I think it's the result of it is described perfectly from our verses in Haggai. You're sowing much, but you're bringing in little. You're eating and drinking, but you're never satisfied. You're clothing yourselves, but it's never enough. You're earning wages, but it's going into a bag with holes. How futile is that? How ridiculous is that? Days of adversity, guaranteed. And so the word of the Lord is, wake up, consider your ways. Make changes, take action. That's a slide that came last weekend. Still the word of the Lord. And will be the word of the Lord for the rest of our lives. Live awake. Wake up, consider your ways. You know, maybe the adjustments aren't massive that you need to make. Maybe they're just small, but nevertheless, the word of the Lord is saying to all of us, make changes. Take action. Now, a lot of people, most people, I would say, start the new year with a detox. Most people have the resolution, I will eat less, I will exercise more. You know, it's like this, every advert on TV, it's either for a new exercise DVD, isn't it? Or a new diet, or this miracle pill. You can just sit on your sofa, pop this pill, eat your crisps, it'll all be all right. You know, you reap what you sow. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong, is there, with getting a grip and exercising some self-control. I think we all need to do that. However, the Lord doesn't just want self-control operating. He wants Jesus back in the driving seat. We heard it last weekend. Not the mechanic that lives in the boot that we pull out when we need him to fix a problem, but really back in the driving seat. And our fasting, the world are working hard to shed those pounds and be a better version of themselves, but our fasting really is for spiritual health. The benefit is, of course, there is an added bonus. You do get self-control back. Physically, it's very good for us, but our goal is spiritual health. And it just amazes me how the Lord can reach my heart through my stomach. Have you kind of thought of it as kind of simple matter of fact as that? The Lord can reach my heart through my belly, through my tummy. He said to me, that hunger you feel in your stomach can start a hunger for me in your heart. Amen. I don't look, come on, let's be honest, who likes fasting? Really? You know, on a good day, I like the idea of it because I'm thinking about the outcome, but my gosh, you know, flesh hates it. I think that's not too strong a word to use. We don't like it. But yet, a hunger we feel in our stomachs can start a hunger for God in the heart. I say can because you can fast without praying and all you get is a hungry tummy. But if you will fast and pray unto the Lord, something starts. By the Holy Spirit, something starts new in your heart. Your desire for God. Your awareness of Him. And we need to know that we need Him. You know, if we're not hungry for God, if we're not aware of our lack, then there's a problem. And I just want you to say to the person next to you, you need to know you need God. Do you know it? Yes. To an extent, we all need to know a bit more, don't we? But the prayer and fasting is doing that, like that word, there's a sharpening happening. And this awakening, really, we've called these Wednesday nights in January awakening nights because that's what needs to happen. There needs to be an awakening in a new way to the Lord, the reality of the spirit realm, the cost of our choices. And we're crying out to the Lord for this awakening. But you know, it's not just an awakening to Him that we need. We need an awakening to ourselves. The Lord said that to me a few weeks ago. You need an awakening to yourselves, to yourself, and we need an awakening to ourselves. Our state, consider your ways. Our sin, I've written this down, I'm just going to say it as I've written it. It's kind of hard line, but we need to hear it. Our sin-sick, half-hearted, lukewarm for Jesus selves. We all need our eyes opening to see ourselves from his perspective. Really, I know this is strong stuff, but I know the Lord wants to detox our hearts in a very thorough way. Our whole lives. He wants to clear out. Because, look, we're born again. He's living in us. He doesn't want to live with the rubbish anymore. Amen. Think of it like that. You know, when you have a good clear out, off to the tip it goes. That's what needs to happen in our lives. Well, there needs to be a good old clear out. We're going to look at Revelation chapter 3 together. If you thought that was strong, brace yourselves. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, write, Revelation 3, verse 14. These things, says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind and naked, I counsel you to buy from me gold, refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him and he with me. Now, Pastor Judith shared those verses with me on Monday morning because she knows this dream that I had that I'm going to share with you in a few minutes. And it really connects with what I had. It kind of makes your hair curl. Should do. If it isn't doing, you need to really pray. But before I kind of share this dream, I just want us to see the danger of lukewarm. I find it very interesting that the Lord says, I wish you were either hot or cold. I'd rather you be cold than lukewarm. Because lukewarm's dangerous. Lukewarm is deceptive. If we're lukewarm, really, we deceive ourselves. I'm involved in this ministry. I serve the Lord in this way. I give my time. I give my money. But the Lord wants our hearts more than our service. If you're taking notes, that's a good note to write down. The Lord wants my heart more than my service. Does he want your service? Of course he does. His good works prepared beforehand for all of us to walk in. But more important than a dutiful service is a passionate heart that does it because we love him, not because we should. So he says, cold hearts, you know, I wish you were hot or cold. If you're cold, you know you're in a bad place. If you're cold, you know you're not right with God. Lukewarm is dangerous. People can go on for years lukewarm towards the Lord. Little bit of him, whole lot of me. It's dangerous. Praise God because he loves us in those verses there. I discipline those I love. I chasten those I love. It's because he loves us that he's telling us to consider our ways, to go up in the mountains, to get timber, to build his house, to buy from him gold refined in the fire and white garments that we may be clothed. Do you know it's all saying the same thing? Pray. Pray. Get with him. Find time. However you can work it into your life, make more room for him to get things from him that will count for eternity. Okay. God's motivation, I hope you can see this, God's motivation behind it all is this desire for relationship with us. I don't know if we can bring that verse 20 back of Revelation 3. I stand at the door and knock. Behold, Jesus says, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and him with me. Fellowship. Relationship. Real life together. He doesn't want to be shut out of our lives, you see. He doesn't want to be remote. He doesn't want to be a stranger that we know from a distance. And for me, that verse really speaks volumes about the heart of God. He doesn't force his way in. I stand at the door and knock. He suffers long. He's patient. How patient is the Lord with you? I know how patient he is with me. Incredibly patient. He bears all things. He believes all things. Hopes all things. Endures all things. He never fails. Love never fails. Just so that we are all thinking clearly according to Scripture, if we are born again, Jesus is not on the outside knocking. He's on the inside. This door he's knocking on, it's an internal door. I don't know if you've ever seen that. For me, that was fresh this week. This is not an external door, it's an internal door. But it's a door, nevertheless. He's knocking from the inside. He's in our spirits. And the temptation we all face is to keep us locked in our spirit, out of our thoughts, separated from most of our life, pigeonholed to Sundays. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. So he stands at this door, waiting to be invited in, into all of our lives, into every day of the week. And Pastor Judith asked me to bring this word because of this dream that I've mentioned that I've had. And actually, I don't really remember a lot of the dream, but what I do remember is that this dream had a soundtrack. And the soundtrack was a song written by William Booth. It was used a lot in the Pensacola revival. I don't know if many of you, I'm sure there must be some of you, have heard of the Pensacola revival. It happened not that long ago, 5 years, between 1995 and the year 2000. Over 4 million people attended revival meetings and were so impacted by the Lord to live sold out for him. And we're going to listen to this song in a moment. Before we do that, I just want to explain one of the lyrics. It says, we need another Pentecost. That's one of the lines in this song. And just to be absolutely clear, according to Scripture, we're not waiting for the Holy Spirit because we have him. He is in us. But according to Ephesians 5, it says, be filled and go on. The meaning of that is go on being filled. Be filled once. You know, we don't just need to be baptized in the Spirit once and leave it there. We need to be filled and go on being filled because we need him. If we're not filled again, we will be full of ourselves. So send another Pentecost, Jesus. Send the Holy Spirit, fill me again, because I don't want to live my life under my own steam, independent of you. Now he has promised, saying, yet once more, I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Now this yet once more indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken, as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. When John the Baptist spoke about Jesus, he said, one will come after me more powerful than me. And he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. One of the symbols of the Holy Spirit that gives us understanding of how he works and how he wants to work in our lives is fire. Fire symbolizes the holiness of God. And there's a verse, just a few verses before in Hebrews 12:14 that says, pursue holiness Without it, no one will see the Lord. Personally, I want to see the Lord in a much clearer, much more obvious way this year than I ever have. In me and through me. Answers to prayer. Seed that isn't stolen but actually gets rooted and produces fruit. And really some of my favourite, I love that song. You know, I've kind of been living with it now for a couple of weeks. And I love all of the verses, but the third verse particularly, I sing a lot. And it says, for strength to always do what's right, for grace to conquer in the fight. What's the fight? It's the fight of faith. For power to walk this world in white, send the fire today. We need him. We don't even know how much we need him, but we need him to be the bright and shining stars he's always planned for us to be. Not this lukewarm, half-hearted, little bit of him, whole lot of me style Christianity that grieves him and actually makes us miserable. It's never the design of God to make us miserable. You know, Scripture says, happy is he whose God is the Lord. The kind of more I'm drawing near to him, the happier I'm getting. You know, and honestly, he's more good than we realize. Let me put it like that. He's more good than we realize. He's more gracious, just, holy, the discerner of hearts, but so gracious. So generous, so creative, so wise. Why wouldn't you want to be with him, you know? And these 21 days of prayer and fasting, let's face it, it's tough on the flesh. But, you know, the Lord said to me when I was preparing this week, it's not about what I can get from you. It's what I can get to you. This new prayer and fasting, it's not about what he can take from us. But it's through this flesh, I'm showing you who's boss, action, that we receive things from the Lord that we wouldn't actually do otherwise. And one of the other things he said to me was, blessings travel along the roads of obedience. I kind of saw it like packages on a conveyor belt, you know, the kind of blessings of God, they travel on the roads of obedience. And so we just need to get on the right roads to get the blessings of God. But you know, the biggest blessing, I honestly mean it, the biggest blessing of my life is being free from myself. Honestly, I mean, short of knowing that I'm going to be with heaven when I die, the biggest blessing in this life is being free from myself. Self craves attention, it craves approval, it craves the applause of people. To be free from yourself is the most liberating thing in this world. Free to serve him. Another scripture I've been living with is from Psalm 119. I run on the path of your commandments, for you have set my heart free. And as we fast and pray, really, as I've said, we're showing our flesh who's boss. Your flesh will kick and scream, same as mine does. You know, but I just say, Jesus, this is for you. Kingdom of God come, here and now, will of God be done. We have mixer taps in our house. You know what I mean by mixer taps? Not kind of hot and cold separate, but two switches and it comes out at the right temperature. Of course you know what a mixer tap is. Anyway, the mixer taps are speaking to me because of this Revelation 3 scripture. I'm like, turn off the cold, turn on the hot. Less cold, more hot. That's what I need. You know, and these little things, you know, in your life, as you're more aware of the Lord, things speak, the sprouts speak, the tap speaks, things are speaking. It's everywhere I look, Lord, the message is loud and clear here. You know, and we just need to open this internal door. I'm going to finish in a moment, but Wednesday night, my gosh, Wednesday night was a humdinger. In an amazing way. It was Haggai 1 again, considering our ways, thinking about our routines, our patterns of life. And I had this revelation that has been actually such a blessing to me. And my revelation was this. My problem is, I think that my routines are unchangeable. It's not that I don't want to change. I know some of my routines are not right, actually. Not facilitating God's way. They're a hindrance. But I can't see how to change them. I can't see how to change them. I can't see how to do things differently. And I think many of us in this room, we have a heart. Like, we want this. Send the fire, Lord. But then when it comes to this life, I got to do this, this, and this. Kids this, work this, me this, him that, her that. We all have our responsibilities, certain number of hours in the day. How can I change my routines? Revelation 3:18. Jesus says, come to me, that I may anoint your eyes with salve, that you may see. Some of us are just looking at our lives wrong. You know, we need to come to him so that he will anoint our eyes to see our lives differently. Straighten out the crooked places, the wrong attitudes, some of our patterns of life defeat us. They may not be sin, but they just may not be the will of God for us. You know, overworking, underworking, wrong attitudes, attitudes towards ourselves, attitudes towards other people, attitudes towards the things we have to do. You know, sometimes when I get in the kitchen in the evening, I think of having to make another meal. I'm complaining. Not externally, you know, because normally it's just me and the dog at home, although he's heard a few complaints. But, you know, like internally. And of course the Lord sees it all. Just this whine going up before the Lord. And we can get complaining about the things we have to do in life, can't we? All of us. We need our eyes opening to see how we can be different and how really we can do things differently. And the answer is not to try and sort ourselves out, because we've all tried that and failed, haven't we? It's really opening that internal door and letting him in. Letting his light in. Letting him anoint our eyes to see how to do it differently, how to be different in the things that we're in, and how to change some of the things we're in. Malachi 3:2 says, he's like a refiner's fire and a launderer's soap. And it goes on to talk about refining his people like silver and gold. Now, I am going to finish with this, but, you know, all the way back through ancient times, craftsmen would take silver and gold and put it in a thing called a crucible, and then put this crucible into the fire. The flames at times would be in excess of 1,000 degrees. These were hot, hot flames, hot, hot work. But they'd stir these molten metals until the impurities came to the surface, and then they'd skim them off. That's what the Lord wants to do. That's what the Lord wants to do in all of our lives. We need him to be that fire that will cause the impurities to come to the surface so that they can be removed, repented of, forgiven, and we live life differently. But if you will think, just think for a moment about silver and gold. You can't see the impurities until they're refined in the fire. And they come to the surface. They look shiny and good. Shiny and good. And we can all look shiny and good, can't we? It's the same with us. And we need the Holy Spirit to turn the heat up so that the dross or the impurities can come to the surface. And we're like, yikes. Seriously? That's in there? I thought I was doing so well. I thought I was so shiny and good. You saw that all along. Lord, I am sorry. Help me to change. That's my prayer. And I hope that's your prayer as well. We're going to finish really by... I've got one scripture to finish. King David. Don't we all love King David? He prayed so many times through the Psalms. Lord, refine my mind, refine my heart. And one of the verses that I've been praying recently is from Psalm 139. He said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way me and lead me. Lead us, Lord, in your ways. Your kingdom come, Lord, your will be done. On earth in our time, that we can say like Paul, we will serve you in our generation. Lord, let us not be cold and stony hearted. Deliver us from evil. Deliver us from the spirit of this age. This always wanting and never being satisfied. This wanting to build a platform for self, to show ourselves off. Forgive us. Deliver us. Anoint our eyes, Lord, with salve that we may see. Oh, Lord, forgive us and deliver us from going round in circles, repeating the same mistakes, having the same complaints in our hearts, Lord, that maybe nobody else sees or hears, but you do. Help us, Lord, like the song says, to do what's right. Give us grace to conquer in the fight. Power to walk this world in white. Jesus, send the fire. We're going to stand.
If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.